Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the Kony 2012 video, produced by the nonprofit organization Invisible Children, Inc., continues to make waves. Now more than 80 million people have at least started to watch the 30-minute call to action. But last week, a screening in northern Uganda elicited jeers and stone throwing. And in today's New York Times, Ugandan journalist Angelo Izama writes in an op-ed that, quote, "Killing Mr. Kony may remove him from the battlefield, but it will not cure the conditions that have allowed him to thrive for so long," unquote. So what about reconciliation? Would that even be possible? A new documentary about another infamous African warlord, Joshua Milton Bly, also known as General Butt Naked of Liberia, examines this possibility. The film is The Redemption of General Butt Naked, and the film's director, Eric Strauss, is here. Also here is Colin Waugh, author of Charles Taylor and Liberia, Ambition and Atrocity in Africa's Lone Star State. Eric and Colin, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Let's start with the 2012, the Kony 2012 video and Invisible Children. Colin, the title of the op-ed written by Angelo Izama is "Kony is not the problem." With your understanding of the area, how much do you agree?
I think that's definitely true. I think that one thing that struck me was how this video is, first and foremost, a personification of one evil man and a rallying call to the youth of America to take action in a way that they are able to and they know how. But I think on the ground, what you said about the jeering that was manifested in Uganda would have been probably replicated elsewhere on the continent, where the trial, the apprehension, the elimination of one individual, no matter how odious, is not going to resolve the region's problems.
Now, you weren't there, but from your understanding generally, is that why people would have jeered the screening of the video, or would it be that Kony has a faction of followers and that's who is in the audience?
I think it's impossible to really discern whether he had, planted supporters to jeer. But I think the general frustration, perhaps the feeling that nothing works, as it were, from the outside world, and that the delivery of true solutions just is not forthcoming. I think that's real.
And this will bring us in a minute to the documentary on reconciliation with another African warlord. But Izama in the op-ed says the political and military leaders of Uganda benefit from a military solution, which makes the military solution the wrong way to go. You get that?
Yeah. Again, it's frustration and resentment against leaderships and elites who have done the wrong thing for their countries over the years.
And in that particular country, it's sometimes hard to know who's worse, the rebel warlords or the government. Eric, the documentary that you directed is about the Liberian warlord, Joshua Milton Bly, known as General Butt Naked, and his effort to seek forgiveness from his former victims. Here is a clip from the film of Bly talking to a woman whose brother he killed.
"I kill your brother out of madness, but please, I will be able to play the brother for you. I'm not be able to do everything that your brother can do, but I will stand there whenever you need a brotherly counsel, whenever you need a brotherly protection. Try to call on me. I beg you, please."
A clip from the film, The Redemption of General Butt Naked. We don't usually hear warlords talk like that.
No, definitely not. And in the case of Liberia, there are a number of warlords or former fighters who have, found religion, who have converted and are attempting to repent. Bly is certainly the most famous of them at the moment.
And some of his crime, how do people react? How did that particular woman react? Because some crimes were beyond forgiveness, even if somebody then decides that he's for reconciliation.
Absolutely. I mean, almost all of the crimes that Bly is accused of are, in many people's opinion, beyond forgiveness. But, and getting to something that Colin was saying, I mean, you have the people of Liberia, are very divided in the way that they view a lot of these warlords, these former fighters. And I think that, that and a very strong religious faith in much of the country, particularly an evangelical strain, there are many people who are very willing to forgive Bly. You know, that also, though, gets to the issue of sort of the power dynamics there. I mean, there is no war crimes tribunal in Liberia. So all of these, you know, war criminals are walking free. So that obviously skews victims' willingness.
Skews it toward the willingness because they're still afraid of the guy?
It's hard to say. I mean, one could look at those, you know, interactions. Like in the interaction you just played, that woman is not, in the case of the film, that woman is not forgiving Bly. But there are several others that we document who are very willing to forgive him.
Former fighters see Bly as an inspiration. If he can change, so can I. Is part of their forgiveness of him a forgiveness of themselves?
I think so. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think a lot of these men who were like a lot of Kony's child soldiers, you know, they were, unlike Bly, you know, they were forcibly conscripted into these rebel factions. And I think they are looking for a way to forgive themselves and to move on.
We just have a few minutes, but I wonder if any of our Liberian-American listeners happen to be tuning in right now and want to chime in yourselves on the idea of reconciliation after a civil war like this, and whether you think it's been successful in Liberia and whether it can be a long-term solution in many war-torn countries. 212-433-WNYC, or for that matter, any of our listeners from Uganda or other countries that have had. Of course, there was the famous South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission following the apartheid era. 212-433-WNYC, but call right in because we just have a few minutes. If you want to comment on this, 212-433-9692. So Colin, Bly went before Liberia's Truth and Reconciliation Commission in 2008 and confessed to being responsible for 20,000 deaths. He was not recommended for prosecution by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. South Africa is another example of a TRC being used to address past atrocities. Is there a risk of reconciliation substituting for justice?
I think that the intentions, first of all, of the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission and the Liberian one were so different. It's almost impossible to compare. I think also there were huge problems with the TRC in the Liberian situation. And, you know, its work, it's delivered its recommendations, but for most people in Liberia, its work has really not been done, and certainly the recommendations have not been implemented. And they've more likely been shelved.
Religion is a big part of Bly's reformation. He works as kind of an evangelist, and some of his former soldiers now follow his religious teachings. Here's Bly from the film talking about a little of what he's learned.
When I gave my life to Christ, I never understood it in the broader sense. I know that my sin are forgiving if I accept Jesus because he's already died for my sin. But I never knew how the path, the joining as a Christian was going to be. I never knew I had to go around confessing. I never knew I had to go to look for those people who are hurt to tell them sorry. I never knew all those consequences.
Eric, a post-accusation conversion is often received skeptically and for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, Bly's case is interesting, though, because, you know, according to his testimony and the testimony of others around him who were witnesses there, you know, he converted at the height of his power, if you want to call it such, you know, in the midst of the war in 96. But I think that, you know, the question still really remains, you know, in a post-conflict situation, you know, where there is this intersection, particularly in Africa, between forgiveness and justice, you know, even if he is very sincere, you know, does it matter? You know, is it enough? And I think, you know, we can argue with is he sincere or not, but then we still have to
move on
to the next question.
James in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. James, thank you for calling.
Yes. I was saying I think forgiveness sometimes is important because there's no way to move on. And for a country to progress and to prosper, we need some stability. And if the person is sincere and is apologetically, I think it's important to let go. there's no way you can keep on going. If you leave, that's the culture where it is. So this is what everybody was doing at the time. One way, one side or the other, both parts were involved.
It's an expansive view. You're Haitian, James, right?
Yes, I am.
Could something like this work for Haitian because it hasn't been done there?
That's right, because you have Jean-Claude Duvalier back in Haiti. You have Aristides back in Haiti. Both of them have done to the country. But what to do with a place like Haiti? We need to go on. We need to move on.
Thank you very, very much. Here is Victor in Seaport. You're on WNYC. Hi, Victor. You're originally from Liberia?
Yeah, Brian. I'm from Liberia, and I work on the seaport of Newark, New Jersey, and on the waterway. You asked a very interesting question about why the warlords that were engaged in this many atrocities that went on in Liberia, why the people are so soft to speak to them or to be against them for what went on. And I have my perspective about that.
Which is?
That is, that the people are, they don't want to attack them, but because the chaos that went on, they are afraid that it might repeat.
Yes, afraid that it might repeat, as Eric was saying before, possibly. Ibrahim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you can attest to this, but for there to be...
And you're from Sierra Leone, I understand, correct?
Yeah, I'm from Sierra Leone, which, in a way, the civil war in Liberia and Sierra Leone was connected, and it was because of our diamonds in Sierra Leone in particular. And then if you look at... The end consequences of the war, the weapons that were coming through Liberia to Sierra Leone, we are not from anywhere in that region, and the diamonds ended up in Belgium, Antwerp, probably New York, and some other Western cities.
Therefore,
so
what?
For you to get justice, you don't have to. Those warlords were mere symbols of the war. You have people who were behind the war. This is for something the United Nations should take into consideration and do a thorough investigation starting from New York.
I hear you, Ibrahim. So in our last 30 seconds or so, Colin, he's saying the warlords are just symbols of the underlying problems. The in Sierra Leone's case, which he says is related to Liberia, Uganda, the underlying blood diamonds trade.
Well, they were more than symbols, I think, because they were also big exploiters of a situation, and they've continued to enjoy the impunity that we talked about earlier, and many of them continue to enjoy office, high office, and wealth.
And we have to leave it there. My guests have been Eric Strauss, director of The Redemption of General Butt Naked, and Colin Waugh, author of Charles Taylor and Liberia, Ambition and Atrocity in Africa's Lone Star State. You can see the film tonight and hear our guests speak at 6 o'clock at Earl Hall at Columbia University. 6 o'clock at Earl Hall at Columbia. Thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.